Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Indeed. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day when our Lord Jesus Christ passed from death to life. Throughout the world, Christians celebrate the awesome power of God. As we hear his word and proclaim all that God has done, we can be confident that we shall share his victory over death and live with him forever. The light of Christ. Thanks be to God.
King above.
And so on this Sunday, this Easter Sunday, we come to the cross with all our mistakes and our sins, knowing that Jesus died on the cross and indeed rose again today for us, that we might be forgiven. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we take a moment just to pause and reflect on our lives and over the last few weeks, and just come before God, knowing that he is keen to forgive us. Indeed, that he died for us today of all days, that we might be forgiven. Let's pause and reflect on that for a moment. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we move on in our service now, our first reading is going to come from Emily as she reads from Acts.
Reading is taken from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses in all that he did in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives a forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for that, Emily. And now, as we hear from the gospel, Anne, one of our church wardens, reads us the story of Easter Sunday.
The reading is taken from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Bring in that all together now. Polly, who worships at St. Nicholas primarily, is going to reflect on what Easter Sunday means. How do we move from Good Friday to Easter Sunday and the impact that has on us?
Earlier this week, I was talking to a group of 8 and 9-year-old children at the school gate and asking them what was good about Good Friday. I reminded them we were going to break up from school on Thursday. And we started to think, was Good Friday good because we wouldn't be at school on Friday? But then some children were quick to point out they wanted to be at school, so that couldn't be good. So I asked them again, what is good about Good Friday? And I asked them to go away and do some research and come back and tell me what they thought. Well, one of my boys did a lot of research. He came back with a whole page. It's handwriting and little pictures of what he thought Good Friday was about. And this is partly what he said. And this is one of my children who speaks English as an additional language. And he said to me in his writing, "Jesus died for our sins, but Jesus had done nothing bad. He healed the blind, the unwalk, the mute, and got rid of evil spirits. He did miracles because he's the Son of God. If you've got problems, remember to pray to God so he will help you. But if you've done bad things, pray to forgive, and then God can help you." I also asked the same question to a classroom full of 7-year-olds, and this is the answer I got from one of our girls there. "Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, but he hadn't done anything wrong. My mum told me strange things happened. The sky went dark. The curtain in the temple was torn in two because he was the Son of God. Now that's just the response of two of the children from school. And I think it's fair to say I was blown away by the depth of their answers. And I wondered if I asked you the same thing, what would you say? What is good about Good Friday? Well, this year on Good Friday, we've had the reflections and we've listened to readings of Jesus' last hour. We're reminded how he was ridiculed, mocked, flogged, made to carry his cross, and then was nailed to the cross and crucified. Whilst he was on the cross, we hear his last words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Praying for the soldiers around him. And then talking to one of the criminals who was crucified with him. Today you will be with me in paradise. To Mary, his mother, and to the disciple John. Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. And in his darkest hour, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that point when Jesus took all of our sins on him and was separated from God. I thirst. Then it is finished. And finally, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then Jesus breathed his last and died. And as it was nearly the Sabbath, they cut his body down and they allowed it to be taken and placed in a tomb. And a huge stone was rolled in front of that tomb and was protected by guards so nobody could get to it. This was Good Friday. Nothing good, it seemed, for his followers, his disciples. Their teacher had been taken from him and crucified. And then it was the Sabbath, and they waited. And once the Sabbath was over, we read in our reading today, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She couldn't wait any longer. She went as she had the first opportunity. And as she arrived at the tomb, she saw the stone had been moved from the entrance. So she ran to Simon Peter and John, and she was distraught. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him. She was utterly shocked that Jesus wasn't there. And Peter and John ran to the tomb, and they saw that indeed Jesus had gone, as Mary had said. But when they went into the tomb, they found the grave clothes. They found the cloth that had been wrapped round his body on Friday evening, lying there. The linen that was round his head was still lying in place. And Peter and John went back to where they were staying. But Mary stayed. Mary stayed at the tomb and she was crying. And as she wept, she bent over and she looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the feet. And the angels spoke to her and said, "Why are you crying?" And Mary's response, "They've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've put him." And then she turned round and she saw Jesus, but didn't recognise him at this point. She thought he was the gardener. And Jesus spoke to her and said, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" She replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him so I can get him." Mary was distraught. Not only had her Lord and friend been crucified, but now his body was also missing. And even though she was talking to Jesus, in her grief, she didn't recognise him. Until the point when he called her name and he said, "Mary." And on hearing her name, she responded, "Rabboni," the Aramaic word for teacher. As soon as Jesus called her name, Mary responded, and she recognised that voice. Do we respond when Jesus calls our name? Do we recognise his voice when he calls us? Because even though in her grief she didn't recognise him, she did recognise his voice. And are there times when we're blinkered and don't recognise Jesus standing right in front of us? And we maybe need to stop and listen to his voice calling. Once Mary Magdalene met Jesus in the garden, she could have stayed there. She could have just enjoyed his presence and kept the news to herself. But she didn't do that. She ran off and she found the disciples and she told them, I've seen Jesus. When we've met Jesus, do we keep that good news to ourselves? Or are we prepared to run off and tell others? Now, on the evening of the same day, the disciples were gathered together in a room. And as they were so worried about the Jewish leaders, they locked the doors, they locked themselves in. And as they were gathered there, Jesus came to them and said, Shalom, peace be with you. Despite everything he'd been through, despite the disciples running away, disowning him, when he first meets them, Jesus greets them with a sign of peace. And the disciples were rightly shocked at the loss of their teacher and they needed peace. We also need to hear those words in our life, don't we? Peace be with you. And Jesus then showed the disciples his hand and his side, and they were overjoyed when they saw him. And our reading from Acts said they killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. As I read that, I'm taken back to my question at the beginning. So what is good about Good Friday? But you know what's good about Good Friday? It's that Good Friday is not the end of the story. It's Friday. But Sunday is coming. What's good is that what looked like a defeat with Jesus being killed on the cross is actually a great victory. Because if Jesus hadn't died on Good Friday, he wouldn't have been able to rise again on Easter Day. It's good, but it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's good because alone on the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins. It's good because by doing that, he paves the way for us to have free access to God. We're not worthy on our own to stand in God's presence. But because Jesus died for us, because he's paid for our sins, we can come and we can approach God. It's good because Sunday's coming and we've got that resurrection glory and can have that access. My prayer for us this Easter is that we learn to live as Sunday people. We don't stay in the grief and in the despair of Good Friday, that whatever is going on in our lives, we don't live as if we're a Friday person, but we live as if we're a Sunday person. We live as if we're free. We live in that resurrection glory of Jesus. And this Easter, I want to be like Mary Magdalene. I want to hear the Lord calling my name. And I want to be able to respond when he calls my name, Rabboni, Rabboni. Is God calling you? And are you listening? And are you able to respond to him, Rabboni? It was Friday, the depths and the despair. But Jesus rose again on Sunday. And as we celebrate on this Easter day, rejoice. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah.
We live as Sunday people, just as Polly was reminding us. Now, the question for us is, what do we do about that? What do we do when we hear Jesus calling? That's our question now to reflect upon as we sing and listen to Amazing Grace.
Love, amazing grace.
If you have been reflecting upon what it means to be a Sunday person, someone who follows Jesus, a disciple to him, if you've been reflecting during that last song on what it means to react when you hear Jesus, then I would love to have a chat with you. I'm sure Polly would, if you want to have that conversation. And now, Sandra, one of our wardens, is going to bring to us our prayers for this week as we come before our God in prayer.
Let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. Almighty and everlasting God, we come together with joy to worship you this Easter day. Jesus, who was crucified, died and was buried, is alive forevermore, our risen Lord. We remember with gladness how on the day of the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples, saying, "Peace be with you." Speak these words into our hearts today. Lift us above our doubts and fears, that we may face the coming days confident that nothing can part us from your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks that God holds us all in his loving arms, and we pray for those places in the world that are shrouded in the darkness of war or civil unrest. We continue to pray for the people of the Yemen, Myanmar, and the Rohingya Muslims. We pray for governments and leaders throughout the world, asking that they may be given the grace to keep their eyes fixed on ways of justice and of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for people in this country who, during the past year, have suffered as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Those who have been ill themselves or have nursed and lost loved ones. Families that have become divided because of frictions during lockdown. And those who have lost their jobs and livelihoods and don't know where to turn. And for the lonely. May we, within our parish, reach out to support them, and may they know that they are loved. We pray for Max, our rector, and Susie, as they carry the love of Jesus to us all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, we pray for those who suffer physical or mental distress. May they feel your presence near them and, in your mercy, be restored to health of body and mind. We pray for the people we know in need of your healing and those who are mentioned on our weekly sheet. We lift before you the families and friends of those who have recently died, including Ron Knight, Olive Sheesby, and Diane Mackay. And in a moment of quiet, we pray for those dear to our own hearts. And finally, as we celebrate with joy the resurrection of Jesus this day, may we make the Easter faith a deeper reality in our lives. Roll away the stones of doubt and fear and help us to open ourselves to your invitation of life. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I was listening to someone this week who suggested that actually What better prayer do we have to be a Sunday person, to be a follower of Jesus who walks throughout the whole week indeed as a follower of Jesus than the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. And so now we bring the prayers that Sandra brought, we bring in the prayers of our own hearts together as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now we sing that great hymn, All Glory, Lord, and Honour. And so, guys, have the most amazing Easter Sunday and walk forward into this life as Sunday people, as people of the resurrection. And may I pray a prayer of blessing over you. God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe, the gates of everlasting life. God the Son, who is bursting from the grave, has won a glorious victory. Give you joy as you share this Easter faith. God the Holy Spirit, who filled the disciples with the life of the risen Lord, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you and be with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Enjoy the greatest day in history.
What a glorious day, what a glorious world.